Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Lincoln Kennedy set to join us in just a moment. Gary St. Jean at 8:45, when we're going to give away two tickets to Green Day, who will be at the Oakland Coliseum in August. But more importantly, boys, you went to Reno, you went to the Atlantis, you went with Guru, and you made it back through the weather. Congratulations. How you feeling?
Thank you. I'm feeling good. Feeling really good. I was happy to be there with Lo and the Guru commanding the four-wheel drive vehicle, which was a rental. Beautiful drive up, Joe. Blue sky. The trees had all the snow in them. It was wonderful. The way home, man, it was Rainmageddon, if there is such a thing. It was pouring sideways. The vehicle was going to and fro. I had Lo and Guru scared blankless. It was a thrill ride on the way home.
Lo, what happened? Scared. What That's happened true. When you dropped Guru off at his car?
So I'm like, Guru, dog, we're dropping you off at the caddy, right? So we're getting ready to drop him off at the caddy.
His Cadillac is what you're saying.
Yeah, yes, Guru's got the caddy. So I'm like, dog, man, I should have told you, bro, but you left your sunroof open. So he's got the caddy. I mean, it's raining, the wind's blowing, it's a lot going on. And the sunroof's open on the caddy. And I'm like, man, I know that rain's there. He said, no, don't worry, guys. He goes, no rain can get in it. That thing is waterproof. And we looked, me and Dibs looked, and he says, Dibs like, why didn't you close it? He goes, it doesn't close. So it was like, wow, that right there kicked my ass. So the sunroof's open, raining like cats and dogs out there, monsoon dorm near, Guru's got the sunroof open. He's a cold piece. Guru,
let me backtrack just a minute here. He says even when it rains, it doesn't get in?
Dibs? Yeah, yeah.
What's he talking about?
The sunroof was open, a slit. You know how some of them pop open?
Yeah.
And so it's not like fully open. And
oh,
he says,
okay.
Oh, no, the rain can't get in. And I'm looking at it thinking, we had about 3 inches of rain, sideways,
rain.
Upways, downways, diagonal, horizontal.
And what Goo hit you with? What do you say, dog?
Oh, it's dry in there, Dibs. It don't get in. I said, Goo, you got to be kidding me.
Who took you to school this weekend? Since we're on this, who took you to school about the gas this weekend?
Oh, you took me to school, Daddy.
Did I help you and Guru?
Because I said on the rental, I said, what side is the gas tank on? And he said, just look at the digital display,
yeah. And
there's an arrow that points on what side it's on.
First time you found that out.
I said, chop off my legs and call me stupid. Is that how it goes, Lo? Something like
there
that.
There are variations, but that was very good.
Thank you. Thank you. Lo is a teacher. I want a teacher. Jed York may need to hire you.
Speaking of teachers, Lincoln Kennedy is going to teach us what the Raiders are up to for the offseason in about a minute. But for now, here comes your update.
Well, let's talk about the Warriors in need of a bounce back after the Friday night debacle. They got it in Sacramento. Kevin Durant will the savage throwdown.
Curry takes it across midcourt, comes left with a dribble. Curry bounce past Durant to the rim with the right hand. Oh, my goodness. Kevin Durant, a savage dunk. And the Warriors lead 101-91.
They take it home 117-106. Joe, a slow start for Golden State, but eventually a nice bounce back win in Sactown.
Big third quarter for the Warriors, but keep an eye on these fourth quarters. In wins, in defeats, there's an issue developing. Ball movement comes to a screeching halt for the Warriors in the fourth quarter. We saw it, obviously, Friday night in the collapse against Memphis, but even against Sacramento. 5 assists in the fourth quarter. I'm not necessarily sure what it is. I think maybe the addition of KD late in games, they're still trying to figure out who's going to be the main man taking the big shot in the big spot. But for now, not enough ball movement in the fourth quarter. It's a developing trend.
And we'll keep an eye on that tomorrow with Miami in town. First of 4 games as they resume this California stretch. Story number 2, we're down to the final 8 in the NFL. The divisional round matchups are set. Green Bay will be there.
It's 3rd and 3. Green Bay, get up. Rodgers, end zone. Touchdown! Cobb!
Joe Buck, five-word call, courtesy of Fox. Aaron Rodgers in the pack. Low, sure look like they've got their A-game humming.
Dab on them, folks. Who was that? Devontae Adams. That was unbelievable what Fresno State was able to do. You got to watch Aaron Rodgers. The guy's footwork was impeccable. Big-time play, big-time win. Going ahead and slaying them Giants. That was a nice game by Green Bay.
Green Bay taking on Atlanta. Dallas will host Seattle. Pittsburgh advances to play Kansas City. And, of course, Houston beating the Raiders travels to New England. Story number three, the 49ers interview tour continuing today back east. Jed York and Parag Marate interviewing candidates for the GM and the head coach vacancies. The update brought to you by your NorCal Toyota dealers. Toyotas, known for their dependability, are for people who are going places and doing things. Right now, get 0% financing on 12 different Toyota models. Where will you go in your new Toyota? Go now. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the Warriors. The Heat in town tomorrow right here on 95.7 The Game.
Good stuff, Dibs. Thank you. On this Raider Monday, brought to you by Antioch Toyota, go to AntiochToyota.com today, and the Oaks Card Club. Lincoln Kennedy, former Raider great, on the phone with Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Link. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Very good, thank you. Let's start with a reflection of the season. 12-4 on the year, and while it certainly didn't end the way anyone was hoping, this team did take a big step forward. What are reasonable expectations going to be for the Raiders next year? Dare I say, an appearance in the AFC Championship game?
Well, I mean, I think the obvious progression is to go deeper into playoffs. And, you know, you made a wild card game. I guess the next progression, if you will, would be to win the division and host a playoff game. And then, you know, the thing is that you don't really have the benefit of sitting back and being able to build a franchise and keep it together. It just doesn't happen that day, this day, with modern free agency. So you got to capitalize on your window. So, you know, in reflection of looking back what the Raiders did, obviously 12-4 was far surpassed expectations, but they ended up a wild card. I mean, it's something to be said. You're 12-4 and you have a wild card. But you want to definitely host a playoff game. You definitely want to win your division. You want to put yourself two games closer to the Super Bowl rather than having to start out a wild card, which is three games to it.
Link, watching this team play the last couple games, the last five or six quarters, how much did Carr hide a lot of the imperfections on that offense and defense?
I don't think he hid the imperfections. I think Carr was a catalyst that motivated these guys and gave them the ability to play better. He's a true leader. And the fact that they lost their leader, this team was without definition. It was without structure. It was without drive. And that just shows you how invaluable this quarterback is to the team.
Link, looking at the quarterback position going forward with the backup in mind, Matt McGloin, a free agent, not likely to be back. Did we see enough positives from Connor Cook to think that he should be the number two, or would the Raiders look to draft a quarterback and maybe instill some competition for the backup spot?
No. There are way too many holes that this team has. You don't go for another quarterback. I think Connor Cook showed that with time that he can be at least a good backup. Your franchise is destined with Derek Carr at the helm. That's what you're concentrating on. So look for the Raiders to sign him to a long-term deal. Look for the Raiders to try to keep as much of the foundation in place as possible. And with that being said, you know, you're going to have to give Khalil Mack a lot of money. Eventually, you're going to have to give Amari Cooper a lot of money. And you still have some pieces. They've got some pieces they got to figure out, especially on the defensive side.
Lincoln Kennedy with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Do you see the organization retaining both Ken Norton Jr. and Bill Musgrave this offseason?
I can't call that, to be honest with you. I don't know what's going through Del Rio's mind. Like I said, you know, you look at it, you can be glum and say, well, it wasn't up to what we expected, but they won 12 games, guys. It's hard to be critical with that type of performance. If we're in a performance-based business, we've seen coaches stay around in organizations doing less. It might not have always been as glamorous as you wanted, but they did get a job done. So I'm not in a position to say whether or not he's going to retain him or keep him, or if they should, for that matter.
Link, when you talk about don't get a quarterback because there's glaring weaknesses that they need, maybe offensive, defensively, and since you named a defense, what would be your number one address that you would in the draft as far as defense with that 24th pick?
Linebacker and defensive back.
Boom. There's a mic drop in your face, Lo.
That was nice.
Lincoln Kennedy joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Just saw a note on Twitter, Link, that a couple of coaches on the Raiders staff have expiring deals. Bill Musgrave and Mike Tice as well, plus the quarterback coach, Todd Downing. How worried would you be about these coaches going elsewhere if there isn't an ability for them to move up within the organization?
That's all the business side of it. And to be honest with you, Look, look at the job that Mike Tice did with the offensive line. Now, they've got a decision to make on Menelik Watson. They've also got a decision to make at the right tackle position. But the fact that they scrambled around and they put, you know, they had three guys going to the Pro Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, off the offensive line, that's pretty impressive. So he might be a guy that you want to retain. Plus, he was critical in the run game. So, I mean, there are decisions, like I said, I'm not necessarily privileged to make because – You have to look at the performance. You have to look at the overall performance of this team. And again, it's not as glamorous as one would like, but they did win 12 games.
Lincoln Kennedy with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. If you're on the New York Giants and you're a veteran presence and you see the wide receivers go to Miami on the off day earlier in the week, okay, that's one thing. But then if they show up and perform the way they did in the playoffs, New York hadn't been in the postseason for like 5 years. If that's the performance you get, how are you going to feel in that locker room after the game?
Well, you feel like crap because you lost. But you know what? When it happened, I didn't see anything wrong with it because the guys were on their day off. I mean, look, I was amongst a generation that partied pretty hard too, guys. So I can't sit there and call the kettle black when I did what I did back in my day. But we always showed up to play. It's a learning experience. And here's the thing. When you saw the offensive struggles throughout this year, it wasn't just on that short time for that one playoff game. New York Giants have had their struggles offensively all year, and it showed up. It was blaringly obvious in the playoffs. It's just, again, you wish you had more maturity out of some of your veterans, and you didn't see it in that instance.
Link, I couldn't agree with you more. Did my thing. We talk about that. It's a week of the playoffs, though, and you look at it and you're saying, okay, Michael Irvin, we knew the friggin', you know, Lawrence Taylor, these guys could party with the best of them and still go out and put up the numbers. And not saying that Odell Beckham drank or anything, but after he missed the touchdown pass and started dropping pass, do you think there was an effect, though, psychologically because of the fact that now he's thinking everyone's going to say that I missed this, was partying, and that's why these are happening?
Well, that's why you got to make better choices, Lo. I mean, think about it. If you go out and get caught hanging out or show pictures that you were hanging out, showing your chest out and everything else, and you play like crap, then people are going to come back to it. I mean, if you want to go out and party, you got to play like you. Hey, look, man, I know how to party. I know how to play. I know how to do it all. I mean, that's what it comes down to, because everyone's always looking for an excuse to take you down a peg or a notch or two. And these guys didn't do themselves any favor by playing like crap on the heels of what they did.
Lincoln Kennedy with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Link, always a pleasure catching up with you. Great interview today. Thanks for your time. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Be well, guys. Talk to you soon.
Boom. Link's good.
He's good.
It's like, right? You know what? Linebacker and secondary.
Yeah.
And then that's it. It's like, what else you got?
I was like, okay.
What else you got?
But they need a cover linebacker. You saw Saturday, where your linebackers couldn't cover the tight end. And it's hurt all year. And that's where I differ a little bit with Vin Link when he's talking about, well, Ken Norton, you won 12 games. How many did you really win them on defense? And here's the thing, when we talk about when you're stuck in your ways, like, okay, this is how I'm going to coordinate, this is what I'm going to do, that's when you got to be able to be diverse and say, you know what, I'm not going to go man-to-man coverage with my linebacker because he can't keep up with him, don't have the foot speed. I'm going to bracket the tight end. I'm going to take him away. I didn't see that. And those are things that you have to do as a coach, too, to make adjustments when your athletes or your players can't play the defense that you're trying to run, Joe.
Excellent stuff. We'll jump right back into it. If you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570. But for right now, as we do every Monday at this time, boom, hit me with it.
It's time for Raiders on the 15.
Raiders on the 15 brought to you by Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows. Lorenzo Neal, tough ending to an otherwise fantastic regular season. Give me something you love.
Yeah, I love this year. You know what? It comes down to one guy, guys. And I tell you guys all the time, when I say Fresno, you stay safe. Fresno State. And who was it? Carr, the MVP of the league. If he wouldn't got hurt, this guy showed you why he's such an electrifying quarterback, why he's going to be one of the highest played quarterback. This guy was the embodiment of the Oakland Raiders. You know all the great plays that he did for the fans and for the team. And this was a big loss. But the Raider fans fans and organization should be happy because Fresno is in the house.
Dibs, what do you got?
I've got a positive on the offensive side. It's the ground game. Latavius Murray was iced in Denver, but he found his way to pay dirt in Houston.
Second and goal, 2 yard line high behind Cook, who's under center. Alawale ahead of Murray. They give it to Murray off the right sideline. Great block by Rodney Hudson. Touchdown, Raiders. Boy, they're right back into the game.
Greg Papa, the call here on 95.7 The Game. They were right back into the game, and for that brief and fleeting moment, you thought maybe, just maybe, the Raiders could do the unthinkable. They obviously fell short, but Latavius Murray found his way to the end zone, and Greg Papa's last touchdown Raiders call of the season. But, Joe, 12-4 regular year. You lose on the road in the wild card game with your third-string quarterback. You can't beat yourself up too much over that.
And Coach Flores on that call as well.
He got in there a little bit in the end.
He's in there. On the PenskeAutoSales.com text line from the 510, Romo for Raiders defensive coordinator, Lo Neal as offensive coordinator.
Well, wrong.
There'd be a lot of hollering over there, that'd be sure.
That's for sure.
The hollering percentages would go up dramatically.
Joe, I could win coach and offensive coordinator. Why? Because I got Fresno State. I got Carr. I know how to. I can manage the offense. Why couldn't I win there?
Are you capable of running an offense? And when I say that, I'm not calling you out. What I'm saying is you don't have any experience running an offense. And isn't the natural progression work with a positional group, then work your way up? Like if you needed to jump in right now as an OC somewhere, you think you could handle that?
Absolutely. All that positioning, really? Coaching, all that stuff is for the birds. People try to say, you go through the steps. Here's the thing. You got to make sure that you have football IQ. You know if you're going to be it, whether it's true. Say, now, some offensive linemen could be offensive coordinators. Some defensive guys could be offensive coordinators. But what you have to do as an offensive coordinator, Joe, you got to first know your talent. And then it's about having playbooks. I still have playbooks from every team that I played with. I kept them. I want to make sure, look at different formations.
You're probably supposed to turn those in, weren't you?
Yeah, you were. But I kept them. What I did, though, Joe, is when I kept them, I'd photocopy all of them. I'd make sure that I kept my books for I can have mine, and I would still turn them in. Because people call and do different things. I want to know, what do you do against cover four? What do you do against cover three, cover six? So all you do is you look at it, and you go up progressions, and you say, okay, in third and long, third down, losing teams are going to play cover four. Using third, early downs, teams are playing cover two. You go through and go percentages, and that's how coordinators do. You get a list of plays that you're going to have against tendencies, and all you do is you call them according to what it is, the plays that you're going against. So when you ask, could I do it, and would I know how to do it, the reason why, yeah, I could.
To keep it positive throughout the day, because I know that was a tough beat on Saturday, how about a few great Papa calls? Should we sprinkle some of these
please
in?
Please.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with Crabtree.
Carr out of the shotgun, looks left, throws a lob for Michael Crabtree. He caught it. The Raiders have the lead. 35-34. Sweet revenge for Michael Crabtree.
Ooh, that was good stuff. That was obviously the New Orleans game week one. We'll pepper a few more in here throughout the break or throughout the show. This is an issue when we talk about the defense. When you face Drew Brees, you gave up 34. When you faced Matt Ryan, you gave up 35. When you faced Joe Flacco, you gave up 27. When you faced Phillip Rivers the first time, you gave up 31. Alex Smith tagged you for 26. Cam Newton got you for 32. Andrew Luck got you for 25. Mm. Every time you went up against a big-time quarterback, you ran into some issues. They hung points on you. You didn't limit these guys. Now, you did limit Blake Bortles to 16 points. And you did limit Trevor Siemian to 20 points and then 24 in the finale. But even Tyrod Taylor got you for 24. Bottom line, there need to be improvements on that side of the ball. At the moment, you are a bottom five team in terms of available cap space. So when we have these discussions from now until free agency in a month or so, Raider fans are going to want to hear about who they can pick up. Every time I mention A.J. Boye, the corner in Houston, well, we could use him. You're not going to be able to afford him. Not only are you low on cap space, but you got a monster quarterback contract you're about to hand out. And you're going to follow that up with a monster pass rusher contract and then a monster wide receiver contract. Free agency is no longer a place where you can solve problems. You won't be able to complement your team like the Giants did last offseason and like you've done in the past, and that's all right. But that's why the draft and coaching are going to be so important. And right now, I think you have a lot of people that between Del Rio's comments over the weekend, well, I'm not really sure. Some guys leave. If your guys are staying, you come out and say, no one's going anywhere.
Absolutely.
They're staying. Even Link. Well, you know, I can't really speak to that. Come on. You know what he's doing. He's kind of floating out there. He's not going to comment on it.
No.
We understand his position, but there's not a whole lot of assurance out there right now if you're Ken Norton or Bill Musgrave.
And I asked Link about Mike Tice, for example. What a great year the offensive line had. You have three Pro Bowlers. Teams are going to come calling for Mike Tice as an offensive coordinator or a head coach, a guy who's got head coaching experience. So do you want to lose a guy like Mike Tice and keep Bill Musgrave, or maybe you move up Tice if Musgrave goes? These are the decisions you have to make internally if other teams are going to come cherry pick some of your coordinators, your position coaches.
Changes are coming?
Yeah, change are coming. They have to, Joe. You alluded to all the offense, and I mean, we talked about the defense giving up those points. I get that. And so you're going to have to make sure that you can get your defense to be better, because you can't think that 34 and 35 is okay. And that's the biggest difference about the offense. The reason why it's not a pressing deal with the offense, guys, like I keep alluding to, you have a smart quarterback. You have a smart young quarterback that if the play's brought in wrong or it's a wrong play, because Carr can see the defense, he understands the schematics of defense, he's not one of those quarterbacks that is like, okay, play comes in. Well, coach, you called the play. I didn't want to change it. Carr has the ability and the knowledge, Joe, to be able to look at a defense and change it to put his offense in a favorable position. So offensive coordinator, yeah, maybe they're going to change, but it won't be. I don't think it'll be this year. Defense, you don't have that over there. You like you talked about, you have a certain amount of money. You have a certain amount of players. Everything counts far as cap space. So you definitely have to make sure that you find someone that you believe that is going to make your defense better.
Give me Papa against Tampa Bay.
Derek Carr in the gun. Cooper goes in the right slot now. Washington out wide right. And three go left. Amari Cooper is being covered up. Now they're showing blitz. They're going to bring to Levante David. Carr throws. Catch Seth Roberts. Breaks the tackle. He's down. 10-5. Touchdown! Raiders! A walk-off from Seth Roberts to win the game.
More on that throughout the day. And coming up next, how a car accident I was in relates big time to the 49ers coaching search. I'll explain. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
The saintly one, Gary St. Jean, recaps Warriors and Kings, coming up at 8:45. Now, back to Raider Mondays. Here's Joe Lowe and Dibs.
So like 5 years ago, I'm moving to Las Vegas from Pennsylvania. And my old man's with me, and we get like 45 miles outside of the Lehigh Valley. So this is a cross-country trip that ends in Vegas. We're about 45 miles outside of Lehigh Valley. It's raining like it's been all weekend here in the Bay Area. And on the highway, we spin out. Driving wasn't reckless. We were going below the speed limit.
Hydroplane.
But a little
right.
Flick of the wheel, and boom, car does 2 360s. Mm. Back end smashes into the guardrail and then whips the car around, and the front end hits the guardrail. Right?
Car
is banged up. Now, no injuries to the old man, no injuries to me. You're a little shocked, but you get out of the car, pouring rain, car doesn't look good at all. You're thinking to yourself, I mean, you're supposed to drive this thing across the country? We calm down for a few moments, jump back in the whip, drove it all the way to Vegas. Not
My
only
God.
That, I drove that thing like another 2 years without fixing it,
wow.
Doing anything to it, and it never gave up.
Who was driving that when it did the spin?
I was.
Okay.
I was. So we make our way out. I ride this thing out for 2 years, but eventually you make the decision you need to get a new car. The thing was on its last legs. I had had it like 14 years. It was a great car. I can't believe I gave up on it before it gave up on me. So when you're going to make a purchase like that, when you're going to make any reasonably big decision in your life, what do? You put together some sort of plan, right? You put together some sort of criteria. It's pretty basic for me. I was making no money at all at the time, so I needed something affordable. I wanted four doors instead of two because it's annoying as hell when people are trying to get in behind you. You got to put your seat up, then they get in, then you got to move up to make them comfortable. No more two doors. I thought that was cool back in the day. That's out. So four doors, affordable, good gas mileage, economically friendly. That's really it. Went, identified it, had the car taken care of by the end of the day, new lease. Bottom line is, when you're going to make a big decision like that, you got to put together some sort of criteria. The Niners, for as much heat as they've taken in this last few years, their coaching search, their GM search, to me, appears somewhat organized. look at the candidates and what do they have in common? Anthony Lynn, Kyle Shanahan, Josh McDaniels, Sean McVay, Tom Cable, all offensive minds. You got a couple guys in McDermott and Vance Joseph who are defensive minds, but Joseph doesn't even have an interview scheduled yet. And based on what you saw with Miami yesterday, he might want to pass there. But the bottom line is they are looking for offensive minds, and then what are the ages? Shanahan's 37, McDaniels is 40, McVay's 30, Sean McDermott's 42, Vance Joseph 44, Cable's 52, Anthony Lynn's 48, but for the most part, they're aiming younger. For the coaching search for the Niners, it looks like it's a younger guy they're interested in and an offensive mind. That's the criteria. At the very least, before they started this process, it appears as if the decision makers down there got together and said, what are we looking for? Well, maybe we'd like an offensive-minded head coach, and we'd like him to be a little bit younger. That's what the blueprint says right now. Give them credit for at least identifying something they want. It's similar when it comes to the GM search. You're bringing in two executives from the Packers, two executives from the Seahawks, and then a couple other guys here and there, but mostly younger. Elliott Wolf, 34. Green Bay executive, 43. Jimmy Ray, 48. He's from Indianapolis. Brandon Bean from Carolina, 39. Louis Riddick, 47. You're going younger, and you're looking to the offensive side of the ball. Give them credit to the extent that they're at least putting some criteria together, because if you look at the Rams right now, has anyone seen their pattern? Defensive guy here, old. Offensive guy here, young. Old offensive guy, old defensive guy. They are all over the map. They have no plan whatsoever. They never sat down as an organization and said, what do we want in a head coach? You see, that's the first question you got to ask. Or if you're hiring a general manager, same thing. What do we want in our general manager? Well, we'd like him to be smart. We'd like him to think outside the box. We'd like him to come from an organization that's got a great track record. We'd like him to be younger. We'd like him to be hungry. We'd like him to have ties to the organization. Boom. Whether it works or it doesn't, lay out some criteria. And then find the candidates who fit that criteria. Don't play battleship football where you're just out here saying, B2, miss. Okay, let's go back to the drawing board. D6. Hit. Ooh, we got something. D5, miss. All right, let's go ahead and avoid that. Let's try something different. Rams don't have a plan. They're bringing in everybody. They're casting a net for all these guys. They're not organized. And inevitably, that will be your downfall.
Maybe they're just getting some intel, like you were saying last week. You know, you bring a guy in for an interview. A lot of times it's just to get the intelligence and pick their brain on what they think. And the cynical viewpoint, Joe, of what the 49ers are doing, the cynic would say these younger, inexperienced candidates are the only ones they can get for an organization that is basically in shambles. You've got no GM, you've got no head coach, and you've got a reputation of having an owner who overmeddles in areas he shouldn't be involved in. So the cynic would say you can't get Bill Cowher or John Gruden to come in and interview for this spot. You're in a situation where the best you can do is to get a young, unproven guy.
Shanahan and McDaniels, though, two highly thought of candidates. In fact, McDaniels, according to reports, finds the 49er job to be the most attractive. Can you believe that? Is it because he's met with Parag and Jed and feels that, you know what, I'm going to have enough control where they're not going to meddle? Or is that just something you go out and try to sell them on so that you can get the job that you may feel is truly the best one out there?
Yeah, I think McDaniel, you're right. You look at Josh, this guy's have a pretty good track record. I know he failed before, but I think when you the next coach that they bring in and the GM, I think they're going to have to get out of the way. I know they're saying they're going to be involved. You can be involved, and you don't want to be involved to a fault. I think the head coach and the GM, they're going to have strong ties. They're going to say, look, this is the plan. What is your plan? If you're interviewing for this job, it's what is your plan for the ownership? It's saying, is this a two-year build? Here's what we have. Here's the talent. This is how long it's going to be. We're going to draft, and we're going to go free agency. How long is it going to take? How patient are you? What would you like to see? 4 wins, 6 wins, 8 wins? Make sure this coach and this GM, they make sure they sit down with this owner and says, here is the plan. This is how we're going to build. Here's what we think how we're going to win. They got to be, the ownership's got to buy into what the GM and the coach is selling, not the ownership and the vice versa.
Speaking of plans or lack thereof, I'd love to know what Cal was thinking this weekend firing Sonny Dykes, head football coach, yesterday. Jake Spavital, the offensive coordinator, is going to step up and be the interim head coach at the moment. But you are about a month away from National Signing Day, and Cal hasn't played a game in, what is it, Dibs?
7 weeks, I think.
7 weeks. Why is this decision coming now? That's question number one. And number two, how likely is it that Chip Kelly lands with the Bears? Because that was the speculation yesterday. Chip's on the market. Chip already lives here. This is the Pac-12. Cal opened up out of nowhere. Boom.
I think it's great for Chip. I really believe that he's going to be the next head coach here. It's so many reasons, Joe. First, let's talk about everything. Let's talk about what makes the world go round. M-O-N-E-Y, money. He doesn't need any money. The 49ers are still on the hook. He's still getting paid from these other institutions. He's still getting paid, I think, still getting money from Philly. So right now, Chip Kelly, you fire Sonny Dykes like they did. Now you go to Chip Kelly and say, look, we don't have the money. He's going to say, I don't need money. I got money. He can probably take $1 million, which would be nothing to Cal. And now you got a guy that you know is going to be good for the Pac-12. You know you got a guy that's creative. You know you got a guy that what his offense was able to do, everyone's talking about it. You know you can be able to still recruit these young guys. He's going to be able to even take kids because of the fact who he is and what he's meant for the college, for what the college has been about. So I think this is a too bad for Sonny Dykes. But
it's terrible for Sonny.
It's horrible. It's horrible, but I really believe that Cal's going to go after Chip Kelly.
Dibs, if Cal were able to land a guy like Chip Kelly, he would have pretty much as long as he needs to get the situation right, don't you think? I mean, it's not exactly like this isn't to take a shot or anything, but it's not Alabama. It's not Georgia. You're not expected to produce big results right off the bat.
You're not expected to produce big results, period. You know, get Cal to a bowl game 2 consecutive years, and that would be raising the bar considerably. This is a team that is not normally in the Rose Bowl picture. They're almost never in the top 25, but it's still a pretty coveted job. It's still a Pac-12 job. You're recruiting in the Bay Area, which, granted, is not Texas or Florida or Southern California or even Pennsylvania, but it might be next on the list as far as talented hotbeds. The only problem is you're at a public university where you're not going to be supported 100%. It's more of an academic institution. It's never going to be football first. To your point about Sonny Dykes, before we feel too bad, let's remember Sonny Dykes was openly looking for other jobs for the better part of the last 2 seasons, even though he was under contract. He was out there. His name was out there. He was, you know, sniffing around for other openings. And I'm looking at a posting here on CaliforniaGoldenBlogs.com saying that if Dykes were terminated with 3 or more years left in the deal, the buyout's around $2 million. Termination with 1 to 2 years left, he would get a $1.5 million buyout. So Sonny's not going away empty-handed.
What is wrong with the Golden State Warriors in the fourth quarter? It's a significant question because we've seen another meltdown the second in pretty much as many weeks. Gary St. Jean's going to help us answer that. Plus, we've got Green Day tickets to give away next. It's Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Raider Mondays. Here's Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
Talked to you guys this morning. Hadn't seen you all weekend. Got to hear all about the Reno trip. Sounds like you had a great time.
Super fun.
Laid out the point spreads for the 4 games for the divisional round this weekend, and I kept telling you something stinks. The bookmakers made a mistake. Kansas City, Pittsburgh, a pick 'em. Andy Reid with 2 weeks to get ready. At home, great balance. Playoff experience from your quarterback and the majority of your roster against a Pittsburgh team that, while good, has struggled this year, has been inconsistent, has some issues on the defensive side, has a quarterback who might be banged up. Pick 'em? Really? Well, guess what? The action pouring in right now on the Chiefs. From pick 'em up to 2.5.
2.5
since
now.
We've been on the air.
Jeez, it's gone.
Wow.
It's gone a full 1.5 since we came on the air. I know you said it opened at pick 'em. And it was -1 this morning at about 4:45 when I walked in the door, and now in just 4 hours, that thing's gone 1.5.
Just strictly from a value perspective, what are you doing? You're telling me the Chiefs aren't good enough to lay 3 at home off a bye?
Yeah, I think that's crazy. Andy Reid, you give him an extra week. He's been pretty golden, especially with Joe, when you pulled up those numbers. What this guy's been able to put together after having an extra week to prepare, he's been unfriggin' believable.
Question is it regular season bye week Andy Reid, or is it playoff Andy Reid? And we all know what happens when things get dicey in the playoffs for Andy Reid. All right, 8:45, ticket window is open. Here's what we've got. A pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Green Day at the Oakland Coliseum Saturday, August 5th. Tickets go on sale this Friday, January 13th, Ticketmaster.com. Just a little observation here, but if Green Day is playing the Oakland Coliseum Saturday, August 5th, That's generally right around the time Outside Lands takes place. I wouldn't be surprised if they headlined Friday or Sunday and then ended up doing this gig on Saturday. They're that big a draw. They could hit two nights, don't you think?
Good instincts, Joe.
Just an instinct. Just floating it out there because the Outside Lands lineup hasn't been announced yet. Coachella's out there. Bottle Rock's out there. But no Outside Lands at the moment. Just throwing that one out there. So, 888-957-9570. You got to call in. You got to answer the following question correctly. How many games have the Golden State Warriors recorded 30 or more assists this season? 888-957-9570. How many games have the Golden State Warriors recorded 30 or more assists this season? To the phones we go. We'll ask him the question as well. One of the all-time greats, Gary St. Jean with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Saint. How are you?
Hello there, fellas. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you as well. I want to start, and I know it's a negative connotation, but I want to start with Friday night, fourth quarter. Things did not go according to plan for the Warriors, but so be it. It's still a team with 30 or more wins already on the season. But what is going wrong with these guys late in games? When you look at the ball movement early, it's a thing of beauty. But when they get to the fourth quarter, it becomes more isolation basketball. Is this just a situation where they're working out the kinks with Kevin Durant, trying to find a great way to close out games together?
Well, there's a couple answers here. One, Steve Kerr doesn't like to take timeouts, but he may be forced to get to teach what he wants to get across here. And, you know, they had a situation there where, yeah, there was a mismatch with Kevin Durant against Zach Randolph. So he wanted the ball and wanted things flattened out. We call that like a 1-4 set. And, you know, he took a shot. And frankly, I would like to see him drive the ball on Randolph because I don't think Randolph can guard him. And if he drove the ball and made the defense shrink and help him, then he could have kicked out to Clay or Steph or whoever. And when you do an isolation like that, the defense is stagnant. They're locked in. They've got eyes on the ball. But if you get involved in a pick-and-roll situation like we saw last night or other games, then you're making the defense get into rotations. They're more vulnerable. It's not just one against one or one against five. So, you know, I look for that to kind of go away. And, you know, and Draymond made his point. I thought Durant took it well. And, you know, these things happen with teams, and they'll move forward.
Say, anyone, you've been in the position that Kerr's been, a head coach, and Dorn Goodwin at that, my favorite as always. But when you have situations like that and Draymond comes out publicly and, you know, and he's, you know, saying the things he said and, you know, he throws, you know, tells Kerr that it's Kerr's fault. How do you know? I like to keep those things in house. You know, I played the ball game, and yeah, we like to keep them in house. I understand that, but as a head coach, how do you gather the troops and make sure things don't start falling through the cracks?
You know, one of the key simplicities of coaching is communication, and you have to earn each other's trust and respect. I think that's where Steve Kerr is just magnificent, off the charts. They know who Draymond is. He demonstratively conveyed that to Green, Durant on the court, and maybe in the locker room as well. You want your players to speak up, but there's a time and place, and you never want to embarrass each other. So Lowe's right in what he's saying. You'd like it to be in the locker room. The old adage, what goes on in the locker room stays in the locker room. But today's world, it's hard. Draymond is a real outgoing guy. And if you listen to him, though, in the post game, he was really cerebral, and he broke down why he felt the way he did about that play. And I think, you know, I've seen some growth in him since he's had a son. I've seen him non-confrontational with the officials. I've seen some situations where he might have reacted with heat, and he's kept it cool. So, you know, that's an isolated situation, and if that's the worst of our problems, I think we're doing just fine.
Gary St. Jean joining us here on 95.7 The Game. They go against the Kings yesterday, Saint. Another real sleepy first quarter in that one. Is it tough to find motivation when you're having this great of a year? Tough to come out and give your best effort night after night?
You know, Dibs, you know that defense is a lot of effort. It's a lot of focus. And it's an 82-game season, and sometimes when you're this good, you think you can turn it off and on with a switch. So they come out and they're not bringing their A game defensively. And all of a sudden, I use the word rhythm. the Kings got in a rhythm. They weren't having to take hard shots. They were getting good shots. They made them. They made eight threes in the first half. It was a good thing that toward the end of the first half, they started to lock in defensively. It carried over to the third period. They had an explosion on them, but it just goes to show you that each team is capable every night, if you let them get going, to get on a roll. And the Kings did, and their great new building. Obviously, that's probably the, I don't know if Cleveland's played there yet, but that's the biggest game of the year in their new arena. And, you know, we were fortunate that Cousins got in foul trouble and, you know, had seven turnovers.
Gary St. Jean with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. How much better does the Kyle Korver trade make the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Well, on paper, I think it's terrific, but we got to remember he's 35 or 36 years old. I don't think he has the consistency that he once had. On the other end, he's a defensive liability, but what does he do with Channing Frye? They space the court out for LeBron and for Kyrie to go one-on-one. You can't help as much off shooters. So it's a good move on their part. They still want to get another backup, a veteran backup point guard. Hey, they're loading it up because they know they're going to have to bring their A game if they want to repeat.
Mike Dunleavy not thrilled about reporting to Atlanta. He wants to get bought out and ostensibly join a team for the stretch run. Would the Warriors be a fit, Saint, for Mike Dunleavy Jr. to come home, the former number three overall back in the blue and gold?
Well, you know, he's had back surgery, and I don't think he's the same as he's been the last couple years. He hasn't played a lot. I don't see the Warriors tinkering with their roster. I really don't. I think they've got these young guys they're trying to develop. They've got their 8 or 9 man rotation. You know, they could do something, but again, always keep in mind, it's a great name, but what is it its effect to the salary cap and the luxury tax? And that's a huge factor in anything that goes on as we approach the trade deadline in February.
What's going to be the key, you think, moving forward for this Warrior team, you know, to make sure that they continue to stay on that course for a championship, for that repeat? What is one of the integral things right now that you see for this team to improve on and do it in a timely fashion?
Well, you know this, all your years on the gridiron, your team has to be healthy going into the playoffs. Look at the Raiders Saturday. Mm. Excuse me. And that's the key for the Warriors. And if these guys stay healthy, I'm extremely confident that come late season, big games, playoffs, that defense is going to get more consistent. I feel like the offense, as you guys noted, late game situations will be handled better. And they keep the turnovers in check. When they keep their turnovers in check, boy, they're hard to beat because they've got so many playmakers and so many scorers. So, you know, that's a more than a one-word answer. But, you know, tie all those in. And I just think as we hit the halfway pole here, they're right on schedule. There's no glitches. Everything's moving along as planned.
Saint, Draymond Green said yesterday that he believes Boogie Cousins is the best big man in the NBA, hands down, regardless of what credit people try to take from him. Do you agree?
No, I lean more toward Marc Gasol because I think he makes other guys on his team better on the floor. And I think when you're a star, that's got to be a factor. You know, Cousins has all his technicals and his gyrations. Yesterday, trying to beat up a chair in the game. You know, hey, I'm not taking any away from talent-wise. He's a tremendous – he might be the most talented big man. But I'm talking about impact on your team, and that's still not to the level that I would hope he'd be at.
Awesome stuff. Gary St. Jean with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Saint, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to catching up again next week.
All right, fellas, stay dry.
St. Lee.
Gary St. Jean, ladies and gentlemen. Greg Rosenthal from the NFL.com to talk about the Raiders in about 8 minutes on this Raider Monday, brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. Drive a little, save a lot. And Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows. We've been talking about this for a few days now. Being a listener, 95.7 The Game, kind of like being part of a celebrity athlete's entourage. Because the 95.7 The Game Dream Sports Experience is going to give you the shot to rub shoulders with celebrities and sports heroes. Mark it down beginning Tuesday, January 17th, which is 1 week from tomorrow, you're going to go to our website, 957thegame.com, where you can bid on your dream sports experience. Unforgettable life and sports experiences that you and your kids will cherish forever. All proceeds go directly to the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame to help kids in need. I've checked out a few of the items that are on the list at the moment, Dibs.
Great ones.
Giants VIP experience, a Giants luxury suite experience, a golf experience.
I love that one.
Involving the U.S. Open at Erin Hills in Wisconsin. Multiple golf experiences, a chance to hang out with the cast from Modern Family down in Los Angeles. Sonoma Grand Prix and NASCAR, that's an experience. The Oakland A's are involved. Golden Gate Fields is involved. Dollar Sundays, I'm sure it's a little bit bigger than that, but you can catch me over there on some Dollar Sundays.
No doubt.
A visit to Dr. Phil O'Neill to hang out.
To Phil's the man, baby.
You know him?
Yeah, me and Dr. Phil, we brush shoulders a couple times, Joe. I don't know him, but we brush shoulders. He said hello. He know me. He would say hello, DeLolo.
Beautiful stuff. Well, that's a week from tomorrow, 957thegame.com. Check it out. There's only a handful of things we're looking at right now. There are going to be dozens of kick butt
awesome.
Experiences. And that brings us to today's National Cash Contest. Is that what we're calling this thing? We don't really have anything more creative than that, just National Cash Contest?
National. Cashional. It's a Cashional Nash Contest.
It's like if the Nazis had won the war, that's what we call this. The National Cash Contest.
Wow.
Brought to you by your Fuhrer. I'm watching that show, The Man in the High Castle. Has anyone seen that on Amazon?
No.
It's outstanding. Okay. It's based on what would happen, what the world would be like in the wake of an axis of evil win in World War II.
Oh,
good
based
stuff.
Based on a book. It's really, really riveting stuff so far. All right, so the National Cash Contest, the all-day National Cash Contest on 957 The Game. You just heard the code word CARD, C-A-R-D, CARD. Text the code word CARD. We can do better than this. To 72881 before 15 past the hour for your chance to win $1,000. Be listening every day at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. for your chance to win $1,000. Text message and data rates may apply. Greg Rosenthal's up next. Don't go anywhere. We're back in a minute. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.